Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1. I was wondering if, since it's Labor Day and all, do I get off too? Oh, no. Okay. All right. Amen. This will be a blessing to you. I'm not going to name any names because, in a way, it's kind of a sensitive area when you talk about giving. But I'm not going to name any names. But a man said to me last week, he said, when we started this mission offering, preacher, he said, I didn't think it would be much. He said, I started out giving $2. He said, preacher, God's a blessing. He said, I'm giving $20 now. And he said, it looks like I'm going to have to give $50 before it's over with. You know what I say, don't you? Just mind the Lord. Amen. Just mind the Lord. Amen. I say that to brag on the Lord. Amen. He can stir in our hearts, can't he? Amen. About our missions program and everything that's going on. And I praise his name for that. Philippians chapter number 1. I'm going to have to get me some glasses on. I can't even see the big print in this Bible. Amen. Philippians chapter number 1. And we'll begin reading tonight in verse number 7. I tell you, this book is rich, isn't it? Amen. Philippians is a rich, rich, rich book. Written from prison to the church at Philippi. And God certainly has used it. Amen. I want to back up to verse number 6. I'm not preaching in verse number 6 tonight, but it's important to read it with verse number 7. The Bible said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, he says, even as it is meet, or it's fit for me to think this of you all. So when he says think this, what he's thinking is verse number 6. He said, it's fit, it's right, it's meet for me to think this of you all, because, he said, I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. How many believes that'd be a good prayer for Bible Way? That our love would abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. I think that's a wonderful prayer for any church, for any Christian. Then the Bible said that you may approve things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. I'm not going to read any more tonight. I believe this will be the way it'll get broken up, verse 7 down through verse number 11. Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be in the house of God. Thank you, God, for our missionaries. Thank you, Lord, for each one, each family that surrender their lives, Lord, to the mission field that you've called them to. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd help us here. Lord, to ever have a vision. Lord, you said where there's no vision, the people perish. Lord, the people in Bloomingdale will perish without a vision. God, we need a vision. People around the world will perish without a vision. Lord, I pray you, Lord, not just give us a vision, but increase that vision. As time goes on, Lord, help us to trust you more, believe you more. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll meet the needs now represented here tonight. God will give you glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. The word heart here, Paul said here, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, he said, because I have you in my heart. He's saying, I can be confident. It's right for me to be confident. It's right for me to know that he which hath begun a good work in you, right for me to know it, right for me to say it, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He said, because I have you in my heart. This is a two-way street going on here with Paul and the church at Philippi. The missionary had the church in his heart, and the church had the missionary in her heart. You'll find that magnified much more over in chapter number 4. And I may touch on that a little bit tonight as I go through, but we'll wait and magnify it when we get to it. How that this church, once and again, they sent unto the necessities of the Apostle Paul. They communicated with him, and not only in prayer, but with their substance as well. And I was looking at this word heart. You know, sometimes we think of heart and we think about that muscle that's in our chest that's pumping blood throughout our body, and that certainly is our physical heart. But when you look at the Greek word heart, it comes from the word cardia. It means the heart, the thoughts or the feelings, the mind, and also by analogy, the middle. It's from our innermost being. That's what the heart is speaking of. From our mind and our thought and from the inner man. And that's what Paul means when he says, I have you in my heart. And I can't read this verse and think about this verse without thinking about something that a preacher said years ago when he was preaching to a bunch of preachers. He said the reason so many preachers get up on Sunday morning and they have to get something off of their chest, he said, it's because they don't have enough on their heart. And I tell you what, that stuck with me. That stuck in my craw. And I said, God, help me to get up, amen, and get something off of my heart, not get it off of my chest, amen. And I, you say, preacher, what's the difference? I can give it to you in a couple of words, flesh and spirit. Amen. When we got to get something off our chest, we get in the flesh, don't we? Amen. Am I right or am I wrong? But if we've got something in our heart, amen, we can do it in the Spirit of God, in the right spirit. And Paul here is in the right spirit writing to the church at Philippi. If you cannot, in these first 7 verses, if you cannot sense his affection and his love for this church and his love for God's people, I'll tell you, I believe that's important. I believe that's important in the van ministry. The kids got to know you love them. Amen. And I believe that's important in a Sunday school class. The class has got to know, hey, we've got somebody standing up there that loves us and loves God and wants us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And so Paul here is talking about this heart. I want to give you some things about this because I think it's important. I think it's important that our motives be right and that what we do for the Lord, we do it from the heart. And I'll tell you this, every one of us get crosswired here sometimes. Will somebody help me? Amen. Sometimes we're doing what we do out of duty. Am I right or am I wrong? Amen. And sometimes we're doing what we do because it's going to look bad if we don't do it. Somebody help me tonight. Amen. If we don't jump in there and do something, you know, it'll look bad on us. But all the best way is just do it from your heart. Amen. And do it for the glory of God. Watch some of these things tonight. I looked up some things and I've asked the Lord to help me to magnify this truth in this verse because I believe it needs to be. Remember Nehemiah chapter 2, if you want to turn there. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse number 12. If you don't want to turn there, it's okay. I'll read you the verse if you want to just make a note and look at it later. But here in Nehemiah, Nehemiah said, I arose in the night. Now, we're not going to go back and study the book of Nehemiah, but you remember in chapter number 1 how that he heard what was going on down at Jerusalem. And how it saddened him in his heart. He went to praying. He went to fasting. He went to weeping. And then that wasn't good enough. He wanted to go see what was going on down there at Jerusalem. Amen. Down there in that holy city that he loved. Watch this now. He said, I arose in the night. This is Nehemiah 2 and verse 12. I arose in the night. Let me just say something right quickly. If we are the Christians God wants us to be, there are going to be some times we will arise in the night. God's going to put somebody or some situation on our heart. Amen. And we're going to have to get up and walk the floor a little while and pray about that. Amen. Or get up and go in the living room or get up and go in another room or get up and go like I love to do outside and look up at the stars where God knocked all them holes in the darkness. Amen. And just because we got something on our heart, God sometimes will wake us up or won't allow us to go to sleep. How many's with me right there? Amen. I'm going to get to some things before we get through this lesson that I believe are important. Amen. I'll just go ahead and throw it out there and then we'll get to it later. But where Paul said,
He said, I have continual sorrow in my heart. Let me tell you something about our generation, pastor included. I believe sometimes we don't have enough sorrow in our heart for our unsaved loved ones, for our country that's going down the tubes at a breakneck speed, and for this lost and dying world that we live in. Sometimes we just don't have enough sorrow. But Paul, when he thought about Israel, if you'll read it, I believe it's in Romans chapter 9. It's one of the verses I've got in front of me. But if you'll read it, he said, I just can't get them off of my heart. He was a missionary to the Gentiles, but he couldn't forget about his own people. I believe tonight that's important. Here, Nehemiah chapter 2, it goes along with that thought. But in Nehemiah 2, he said, I arose in the night, I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. He said, preacher, what are you getting at? Stay with me tonight. I believe this will be a blessing to you. Paul said right here, he said, I have you in my heart. If you'll think about that for a moment, it might look like that Paul is boasting. Hey, I'm one that loves the church. You know what I mean? And I've got the church on my mind. I've got the church in my heart. But when I get done tonight, I think you'll see that, hey, Paul's not bragging on himself. You'll see that in a moment. Amen. I believe that with all of my heart. Watch this. He said, God had put it in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. Nehemiah is saying, hey, I'm here. I've been praying. I've been weeping. And now I'm here and I see the great need. I see the walls that are torn down and the gates that are burned. And he said, I see the rebuilding that needs to be done. But what Nehemiah is revealing right here is, listen, I'm not going to do it just because it's something to do. Amen. I'm not going to do it to put on a show for anybody or to get an accolade in this world or for somebody to pat me on the back. I'm going to do it because God put it in my heart. That's why he's going to do it. That's why he's going to do it. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. We're close to it. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 8 for just a moment. Listen to this. The Bible said here, unto me, this is Paul, who am less than the least of all the saints. I love the Apostle Paul, don't you? He says, if you're talking about sinners, look up here. I'm the chief. He said, if you're talking about saints, he said, find the least and put me down underneath of them. Amen. I'm less than the least of all the saints. You said, preacher, what is that? I'll tell you what it is. It's something this preacher needs more of, and all of God's people could use more of. I believe it's humility. Amen. It's realizing that without him, we're nothing. Without him, we can do nothing. Amen. You know what? I'm going to just go ahead and stop and say it. I'm trying to get out of saying it. But you know the reason I'm standing here tonight? Because God put it in my heart. I mean, the whole time I've been preaching, I've been thinking about sitting out there, that old 99 Crown Vic with the light turned on, reading the precious Word of God. I could take you to the spot where God put it in my heart. I'll tell you something tonight. It's precious. I was talking to a man a little while back. He's considering taking a church. I was talking to him, and I said, brother, I will not influence you one way or the other. And I have a little bit of pull, I guess, or say so with the church. I said, I will not influence the church one way or the other. I said, you better pray. They better pray. I said, because 6 months from now, I don't want you looking at me. It better be God that put it in your heart. It better be God that put it in your heart. You know something tonight? Paul here, he said, preacher, what is this you're talking about here? Well, in Nehemiah 2, it's the work. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 8, he said, I'm less than the least of all the saints. This grace is given. He said that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. How many knows who put that in Paul's heart? God did. If Paul had his way, honey, I tell you what, the Gentiles could have went to hell and he'd have won every Jew he could win. Think about that. Read your Bible. He ended up in that synagogue about everywhere he went, didn't he? Amen. He loved those people. But God said, I've got a people I want you to reach. Brother Frankie's got a people he wants you to reach. To a lot of people, they're dogs. But to God, that's what we were. The Gentiles, amen, just a bunch of old dogs. We wasn't even worthy of the scraps. Amen. I appreciate that woman said truth, Lord. But even the dogs desire the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Amen. Get a crumb. It'll help you down the road. Nehemiah chapter 2, God put it in my heart. I want you to look at this verse with me tonight. This is interesting. I never have seen this before. I don't know if that's correct English or not. But I've never seen it before. Nod your little head up and down if I'm all right. Amen. Amen. I'm talking to my wifey back there. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 1. Watch this now. For all this, Solomon said, I considered even my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before him. You get that. Boy, if that gets hold of you like it did me. You see what God said, hey, what's going on out there? What's going on out there? What's going on out there? That ain't got nothing to do with what he puts in here. And listen, if there's love in here, it ain't because of something we saw there. It's because he put it there. Brings me to a verse of scripture where the Bible said, and hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. How many remembers when you got saved? Instantly, you begin to love things you used to hate. You begin to hate things you used to love. I mean, hallelujah! He put it in there. Guess what? He put it in there to stay. Amen. You say, well, can a man backslide? Well, that's not a New Testament term. He can get out of fellowship with God, but he's a miserable man. Because God put something in there to stay. Amen. The Spirit of God. Oh, listen tonight. Listen to that verse. I considered in my heart even to declare all this, that the righteous, the wise, and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. It's not what's before us, but it's what's in us. Amen. It's the love of God that's in us. You say, preacher, I don't know why you'd magnify all of that in Philippians. I'm trying to tell you tonight, there's a reason that this church is in his heart. God put this church in his heart. He ain't up there, my friend, tooting his own horn. I'm telling you, he's writing to them. He's writing to them like you'd write a note or a letter to your wife in love, amen, or to your children in love, or to a mother or a father in love. And it's coming from his heart, and he wants us to know tonight why it's coming from his heart. Because God put it in there. God put it in there. I'll tell you something right now. Miss Eve will tell you. We left there last night with a young lady in our heart. Amen. She's at a crossroads in her life. I saw the tears well up in her eyes as we spoke on the porch yesterday evening. And when I asked her if she wanted to be saved, she said, not right now. She said, I'm just so afraid I'll go back and do the same things over again. I told her, I said, honey, you will without his help. When you get saved, help moves in. Glory to God, when you get saved, amen, the Spirit of God comes in, amen. But she's a little bit hesitant right now, and that's all right. We're going to keep praying because God put her in her heart, amen. We even told her, Sister Janet, that the van would come by if she didn't have a ride. That might be one of you three. I don't know. Amen. She'd offer you some help with them little ones. Amen. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Amen. And that way Kyle don't get to eat all them potato chips. Amen. Somebody else can eat them. Amen. I got in there one day. Man, there was potato chips, big old box. I only eat two packs between here and Kingsport. Amen. Amen. Two different kinds. They were good. All right. Psalms chapter number 4 and verse number 7. Not only does God put the work in our heart, but in Psalm chapter 4 and verse number 7, the Bible said, thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time of their corn and their wine increased. Paul's writing from prison, right? How many believes he's got the blues? He don't have the blues. No, we don't have the blues. He's got gladness in his heart. God didn't just put the church in his heart, and God didn't just put the work in his heart, but God put some gladness in his heart, amen, or some joy, if you please, in his heart. He said, preacher, you can't have joy down there at the prison. You need to read the book of Acts. Paul and Silas down there in the prison, I mean, as far as I know, they was praying, singing. They was having camp meeting, amen, down there in that prison. And God showed up, shook the jail, and the doors opened up. He said, preacher, you really believe all that? I surely do. I surely do. I tell you what I'm looking for. I'm looking for God to open the floodgate in Bloomingdale. Amen. I tell you what, if God's Spirit just come on the scene, we can see people saved and people saved and people helped. But not without Him. Amen. Not without Him. The Bible tells us here, thou put gladness. Watch this down. Psalm 40, verse number 8. He said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Well, I'm going to tell you what, if you get all this in your heart, there ain't much room for that other junk. Somebody help me tonight, amen? You get the work in your heart, get the sinners in your heart, get the church in your heart, get the Word of God in your heart, and get the gladness in your heart, and all of a sudden, all that other junk starts getting crowded out, amen? Somebody said years ago, sin will keep you from the Word of God. How many can say amen right there? He said, preacher, I tell you, there's times I just don't read the Bible. How about this? To him that knows to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. Sin will keep you from the Word of God, and the Word of God will keep you from sin. That's just as simple as you can put it. Amen. And the writer here in Psalm said he put the Word, the law in my heart. And then it was Romans 9 and 2. That's the verse I spoke of a while ago. He said, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. How many remembers how Romans chapter 10 opens up? He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. When he come right out of Romans chapter number 9, he said, I have continual sorrow in my heart. And then, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I don't want to take a lot of time, but years ago, the very first man that I witnessed to in prison, I was told to hang around with Johnny Nix. Johnny, and learned the ropes. We went to the maximum security unit. I was not a Rock of Ages missionary that I knew. God already knew it, but I didn't know it. Amen. And I went to help in a revival meeting. They said, you hang around Brother Johnny, Brother Vinoy, and do you learn the ropes? Johnny knocked on that first cell door, solid steel door, maximum security. Got a little pie flap about the size of a license plate. They wouldn't even open them for us. It was a terrible situation for a preacher that's hard of hearing. Amen. I had to put my ear up to the crack in that door to hear what that man was saying on the inside. Then I'd step back and speak to him. When Johnny started witnessing to this man, he warmed up to him, said, I'm Johnny Nix with Rock of Ages. And he said, I just come by to talk to you a little bit. We got some material here. I'd like to talk to you about the Lord. I stayed with Johnny for about 20 seconds. And I figured something out. This ain't no different than going to a door out here in the community, amen, and just introducing yourself and telling somebody that you're concerned about them, amen, and telling them about the Lord. So I just left Johnny. I left him, went on, got my own door, amen. There wasn't no use of me standing there watching him. I've been doing that several years. And so I went over there and talked to this man. This man's name was David. I can't tell you his last name. I'm not allowed to. But David, he was a member of a white supremacist gang. About 35 years old, had tattoos all over him. I began to talk to David, and I tell you, the Holy Ghost began to work in his heart. I thought to myself, the whole time I'm presenting the gospel to this man, I thought, don't tell me that the first man I talk to is going to get saved. I mean, it was evident God was working on him. Got right down, I said, David, what about it? Do you want to trust Jesus today? Do you want to be saved? I said, is God dealing with your heart? He said, yes, he is, preacher, but not today. Not today. I didn't know anything about the gang then. I didn't know anything about all those strongholds that were holding on to him, trying to hold him back. I went back the second day, looked him up the second day, and gave him a Bible. He said to me, he said, preacher, he said, I can't sleep. He said, I can't eat. I said, you know what that's called, David? I said, that's called Holy Ghost conviction. I said, sometimes a man can't do anything until he gets right with God. I said, what about it, David? Are you ready? Not today. Not today. I didn't realize it that day, but the Bible that I gave him, the poor, was very print. The print was very poor, excuse me, in that Bible. After I gave it to him, somebody on the yard, it was just in my tray. I knew that Rock of Ages only gave away King James Bibles. I wasn't worried about it. But when I looked at it out there in the sunlight, you couldn't hardly read it in the sunlight. My heart broke. My heart sank. And I began immediately to think, how am I going to get that man a good Bible? I called my wife on the way home that night. This is a very condensed version of this story. Called my wife on the way home. I said, honey, do we have any Bibles left? She said, we got one. I said, lay it on the coffee table. I was leaving home at 8 o'clock in the morning, getting in at 11 o'clock at night. I said, lay it on the coffee table. I got up the next morning, got me a cup of coffee. I opened that Bible and I wrote David a little note in the front of the Bible. I said, David, there's a prayer written for you at the top of one of the pages in this Bible. I didn't even tell him where it was at. Amen. I wanted him to hunt through the whole Bible looking for it. Amen. I wrote right at the top of Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 1. Lord Jesus, my heart's desire and prayer to God for David is that he might be saved. Went to give him that Bible that day. Down to 5 minutes left. Have to be out of the prison. 5 minutes is all that was left. You say, preacher, what happened? I ran up that flight of stairs and I was just going to give him that Bible. And when I got up there, he was looking out like that glass. I figured out later how come. He could see out on the yard, Brother Wayne, out of his back window. He saw me coming, amen? And he knew I was coming. And when I got up there to the top, I done made up my mind what I was going to say. I brought you a good Bible, David. I brought you a good Bible. That's all I was going to say and give it to him. But I tell you, when I locked eyes with him and I said, David, are you ready? He melted down behind that window, falling down on his knees, said, I'm ready, preacher. I'm ready. You say, why? Because God put it in somebody's heart. God put it in somebody's heart. He wrote a letter to the Rock of Ages later. This is what he said. I absolutely could not believe that there was anybody in this world that cared enough about me to come and see me 3 days in a row. I'm telling you, the devil had told him he was a piece of trash and there was nothing, no good about him. I'm telling you, there's people in Bloomingdale like that tonight. All we need is for somebody to get them in their heart and go after them for the glory of God Almighty. Well, I didn't mean to say all that. But I tell you, it needs to be said. Amen. If we don't have somebody on our heart, how can our heart be right if we don't have somebody on our heart? Amen. We need to get somebody on our heart. Get somebody on our heart. Preacher shouldn't have to pray for that girl alone. Amen. These people driving the van, they shouldn't have to pray for their route alone. There ought to be somebody else carrying that burden in their heart. Brother Johnny shouldn't have to pray for the youth alone. Somebody else ought to have them in their heart. Amen. Brother Brian, our Sunday school director, you shouldn't be the only one praying for our Sunday school. Thank God you've got our Sunday school in your heart. But there ought to be somebody else help carry that burden in prayer. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, I'm just getting started on this verse. I'm telling you right now, Paul had these people in his heart. I guarantee you that the prisoners he was around knew about a church down at Philippi, knew about a church down at Corinth, knew about a church down at Thessalonica, knew about a young preacher named Timothy, knew about one that traveled with him, amen, named Barnabas, and knew about Silas down there at the Philippian jail. I'll guarantee you this much. Not only did they know about all that, when Paul got through with them, they knew about Jesus. Amen. They might not have known Jesus, some of them did, but they certainly knew about Jesus, didn't they? Amen. Because it was in his heart. Oh, friend of mine, tonight I hope and pray to God, God will let this sink down in where we live. Even it is meet for me to think you of this of you all, because I have you in my heart. I have you in my heart. The Bible said, who has sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. I mean, he's glad for that. Ye are our epistles, Paul said, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Paul said, listen, to the church of Corinth, he said, you are our epistles. You're written right here. God wrote you on my heart, in my mind, and in my thoughts. For God, listen to this, this will bless you. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Anybody know the rest of that? Hath shined in our hearts. Glory to God. That was the first place in my life he knocked a hole in the darkness. It's right there in my heart. Amen. God, who hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. Watch this now. To give. Not to keep. God didn't want us to keep this here. But he wants us to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God shined in our hearts so that we can give out. The illustration, I've shared it here before, the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is dead because it has an inlet and has no outlet. How many's ever stumbled upon or investigated a little bit? Miss Eve has to try to keep them run out of her ferns on the back porch. The birds are wanting to build a nest. How many's ever watched one of those mamas feed those birds? Them birds, ain't that right? Every one of them, amen? That's exactly right. And you know what? As God's people, we ought to be hungry. We ought to come to Sunday school. He said, preacher, I don't see you in Sunday school a lot. Oh, I get Sunday school, don't I, Brother Brian? Amen. I love it. Lots of times I'm meditating on the morning service. Yes, I am, but they make me a tape. I get it, buddy. Amen. I love it. I love the Word of God. I love the teaching of the Word of God. Let me tell you this. God don't want us to just... We need to do that. But God wants us to take that in and give it out. Take that in and give it out. Listen, when he comes in, he wants us to be like a river of living waters. A river, it runs through. It runs through. It runs through. It don't just all come in and then get stagnant there. God wants us to give it out. Give it to our children. Give it to our neighbors. Give it to our workers. Give it to folks because it'll help them. In 2 Corinthians 7:3, he said, I speak not this to condemn you. Watch this now. For here's another church. For I have said before that ye are in our hearts. Watch this. To die and live with you. I'm going to say something tonight. I hope it'll be received right. I mean it right. One, two. I started in Hurricane Baptist Church in Wise, Virginia. I went from there to Liberty Baptist Church in Church Hill. I spent 10 years of my life with Rock of Ages. And I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me carefully right now. Every ministry that I ever went to, I didn't go to leave. That is the God's honest truth. I didn't move my family on that mountain in Wise to go up there and stay a period of time and leave. I didn't move my family to Church Hill. I didn't start with Rock of Ages. Only God knows what the future holds. How many knows what I just said? I don't know what the future holds. But I'll tell you what's in my heart. I didn't come here just to live. I come here to die. Have they heard what I just said? What do you mean, preacher? This ain't some stepping stone to go somewhere else. God put it in my heart. Amen. God is God. But he'd have to be the one to change that. I don't have any control over it. Paul said, I said, I have you in my heart. I came to die and to live with you. I don't know about you tonight, but I praise God for that man of God. He wasn't getting up and getting something off his chest. He was getting up and getting something off his heart. Amen. I learned a lot down through the years, some by my own mistakes, and I've made them, and some by the mistakes of others, as I've just watched them. But I watched a man for a period, I guess, of 6-8 months. It was a family church. Lots of family in the church. This is before I ever got saved. And the Sunday morning message was no longer for those that were present. It was directed at those that had left. You can't get fed in an atmosphere like that. Amen? And I learned something right then and there. I wasn't even saved yet. But listen, God didn't give me a message tonight for those that aren't here. God gave me a message tonight for us. Amen? And I hope you got fed tonight. I know God fed me out of this. Amen? I want to do what I do because it's something He put in my heart. He put it in my heart. I want to study. I want to be more diligent in my study. Can any of you stand to be a little more diligent? I want to be more diligent, Brother Brian, in my prayer life. I want to be a more diligent soul winner. I want to be a more diligent pastor. I want to be a more diligent husband and a more diligent father. I'm not there yet. I haven't arrived. He's still working in my life and in my heart. And I hope He will till the day I die. I hope, like old Brother Rightly Salling said, I get to stay in the field till the sun goes down. Hallelujah. Y'all don't know it, I'm up here close to Brother Fred. He just got him a tickle right there. Amen. He got him a blessing. You won't know why? Because he wants to stay in the field till the sun goes down. I say hallelujah. 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 Well, we didn't get all that verse, but we got a good start on it, didn't we? Well, I had 4 verses lined up and ready to go. Amen. I'm glad I got something in my heart tonight. But don't ever forget this. It's all right. I think Brother Wayne may have mentioned, I think it was your voice. Did you say pray for our pastor? That's all right. But just remember, if there's any good thing comes out of this pastor, he's the one that put it down in there. Amen. He's the one that put it down in there. A man called me yesterday, he said, preacher, he said, I really appreciate those messages on the blood. That really helped me. Another man told me that in person. But just don't ever forget who put it down in there. Amen. If it's any good thing, he's responsible for it. Because Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight? Amen. I want to have a heart, don't you? That innermost being. Want to have a heart for God, for God's people. Want to have a heart for sinners. Amen. How many remembers that song the McCameys used to sing? Somebody prayed for me. How many remember? They had me on their mind. They sacrificed their time. They fell down on their knees and prayed for me. They had no doubt that God would bring me out. That He would change my life and set me free. I'm so glad that someone prayed for me. Amen. Listen, we might look at people, we might look at situations, and it might look hopeless. Can I ask a question? Is there anybody's life in here besides mine that looked hopeless before Jesus got a hold of it? Amen. I'm telling you, He specializes in hopeless cases, don't He? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank You tonight. Thank You, God, for what You've put in our heart. I thank You, Lord, for a corner. Lord, when Ruth went into the field of Boaz, she started out in the corner. But then in the grace and the favor of the loving Lord, Lord, You put her right out there among the sheaves. Lord, that wasn't enough. You had the workers to drop handfuls of purpose. God, I just thank you for a quarter in your field. Lord, I pray, help us. The old songwriter said years ago to brighten the corner where we are. Help us to be a light. Help us to have the work. Help us to have the people in our heart. Help us, God. Lord, we'll give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.